I'm Pastor Maurizio, Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. I'm going to continue on the series that we started on end times. What we really want to do is to understand end times. So let's start with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to us day by day. Thank you that we can come to you, Lord, with our needs. And thank you that Jesus has done for us. Made all the difference in our life. We just praise you and thank you. As we're going to approach this topic today, just let the Holy Spirit minister to us, guide us, give us our words, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I wanted to just mention something because people think that from prophecy, they're going to understand everything and everything is going to be clear. They're going to know everything. Well, the Bible doesn't really say that. But prophecy is like, we get a number of pictures, fragments of what's going to happen, but not the whole picture. It's like a puzzle. A puzzle, you have many pieces and sometimes thousands of pieces and you don't know where to start. So you have to start from things like the sides or a place that is evident what it's all about. And from there you build up on the other pieces. But until you have all the pieces together, you really don't see the whole picture. But the same thing is with Bible prophecy. We can have flashes or images, but how they are connected together is a different story. And if we start making it up, often we end up with the wrong conclusions. So what we had to do mostly is what the purpose is that when things start to happen, when the world around us start to show us a certain thing, we can see the things have been already said, the things have been predicted, and we start putting those pieces together in the present situation. And I think this is what we have to understand and what we can receive from the scriptures and from the prophecies in the scriptures. What we have to do is the important thing is that, the word is clear that in this time, in the end times, we have a mission. And the mission is the ministry of reconciliation. That means to spread the good news, because God wants to minister and bring everybody to salvation. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that is God in Christ reconciling the world to himself, now not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, this is really the Great Commission. We are going to call to go to the world to bring them to realize that God in Jesus has dealt with their sins, and that as they receive it, they repent and they open themselves up to him, they are going to have a new life in them. And it's available to everybody that receive what Jesus has done. So, when we start trying to figure out things and create a timeline, it's not very easy. It's not very simple. And whatever plan we have, we are never going to know completely that this is going to happen tomorrow, because we are not going to be, this is not the way God wants it to be. So let's see a moment, what we can do in terms of the great picture. How can we can look at the great picture and start seeing the little pieces that need to be drawn at this present time? We can see from the Bible, the whole Bible, that God had a plan, has a plan. And this plan is evolving throughout the centuries. It's moving toward its completion. And the whole thing is detailed plan and organized and made in such a way, just as orderly and as defined as the whole world is. God has created laws according to which the world operate and according to which the world operate. So we have to understand that. You know, I remember in my early days that I had been saved, I was really fascinated by Bible prophecy. It's an interesting thing and it's exciting to see. And so the curiosity is really easily, you know, motivated there. But soon I came to realize there were many conflicting theories that all of them, you know, pretended to be truth. And some of the things that were said or things that were going to happen then, they never happened. Evidently, they were wrong. So I was reading some books, you know, and really the interesting thing I found out is that, you know, even if this book says some things that weren't right, you know, they helped me to come to some conclusions. And I remember the funniest of the conclusion was the fact that the book I was reading then was criticizing people, these strange people speaking in tongues. And that really got me interested because in my spirit, I felt very clearly that, wait a minute, the Bible talks about that and encourages that. Why, you know, this guy is trying to say that it's not for today and whatever. So I got into it and I started reading and studying and ended up being filled with the Holy Spirit myself, speaking in tongues. So you see, sometimes, you know, they create theories to prove something, end up proving something else, the opposite. Anyway, I thought that was hilarious. But okay, so we don't want to be confused. We don't want to be going from one theory to another. And at that time, I remember praying, and God gave me some directions about that. Okay, the fact that one of the directions is, you know, no matter what, the time is getting closer. That, but don't waste your time going after all the different theories. Don't be curious about this stuff. You don't know, and nobody knows what's going to happen next. Don't make things up according to the things you prefer or somebody else says. Okay, but one important thing that you should be careful about is to listen to the warnings. Listen to the admonition that the Bible says for those times. You know, today I see that many Christians don't listen to this admonition and they follow many false prophets. And so, and this is what was essentially prophesied. And so they should be really studying more the warnings than this trying to figure out things. Look at what's happening. Prophecy are being fulfilled now and then. And that is important to recognize. You see, the things that we can see is that when the prophecy about Jesus coming, first coming, were given, and the people were so caught up about their own ideas that they all missed it. We had to be careful not to do the same thing today because we are so caught up about our ideas or the way it's going to happen instead and miss actually what's taking place and what is already happening. You see, the more pieces of the puzzle we have, the clearer it should become. But that doesn't mean that we know where the next piece is. What we can see that the key parts of this, the key pieces that we have to realize are special events that took place in the world. We could call them defining events. Events that have an impact on people, on the life, that changes the life of people. And these events, when they have this strong impact, are part of not just coincidence, are part of a plan, bigger plan that God has. You see, each of these defining period start, if you want, a new phase, a new period in which life is not going to be the same anymore as it was before. And this is, helps us to understand the time we are in. And this is, Jesus is really stressing that. And if we really want to see the key elements in that, is that God, that the Bible always emphasizes and focuses on two people, God's people and the church. So if we look at those two elements in the prophecy and how they connect to the world around us, is going to help us. It's going to help us to see and understand. See, God's prophecies and promises in the Old Testament and New Testament are going to true and are going to be manifested. Praise God. So, let's see what is significant today in relation to the end times. You see, one of the things that we had to remember and we had to realize is that Israel has always been at the center of God's plan. And it's going to be again at the center of God's plan, as we can see from the book of Revelation. So, the other thing that we had to remember is that God's promises are not just spiritual. They not only involve spiritual things, but involves also physical things. God's promises, for example, to Abraham was not just a spiritual relationship with God, was actually a land was promised to Abraham. And he said, you know, step wherever you step your foot on is going to be yours. That's a physical thing. You cannot discard that. You cannot ignore that. And we can see that there's been a fulfillment of a prophecy. There was many prophecies, actually, concerning that. I mean, you know, we all know that, you know, the Roman Empire destroyed the temple, destroyed Israel, and so on, and they were scattered. But there were prophecies before given to through that time, through different prophets. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 34, says, I will bring you out from the people and gather you out from the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with the fury poured out. So you see, he's saying very clearly, this was a promise that you cannot ignore. And for many centuries, was evidently something that wasn't true, and it appeared to be impossible, because no nations have been destroyed and scattered has ever been rebuilt together. Again, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, says, and I shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against for the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and the islands of the sea. The following verse, he will set up a banner for the nations, and I will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the diverse dispersed of Judah for the four corners of the earth. So you can see, these are pretty clear prophecy that were spoken. Again, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8 says, who has heard such a thing? And this is really relevant. Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. You know, This we can see that this materialized at the end of World War II. Okay. There was a major shift on the political balance in the world at that time. That was a defining moment. And at the same time, out of nothing, there was the creation of the State of Israel. There was a complete miracle, something impossible to happen any other way than by God's intervention. Now, you know, when we see the sign approaching, I really think we should consider some of the things that Jesus said. You know, one of the symbols for the nation of Israel is the fig tree. And Jesus himself gave different prophecies and parables that are together, anyway, about the fig tree. Now, for example, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you will know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the door." I mean, if he's talking about is when Jesus in chapter 24 and around there was talking about the end time and he's coming back the second time. The things cannot be really ignored. This is not coincidence. There is no coincidence with God. He says, "As surely I say to you, this generation will do by no means pass away till all these things shall take place." Now, really, the generation is translated that way, but really that's not what the way we interpret it today. Really, it means the age, the period of time, the nation, whatever you want to call it, is not just a 40 years or so generation gap. Okay. And to complete that statement, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not by any means pass away." So, just the following verse reinforces this idea and reinforces the idea that we don't know it. But that day and hour, no one knows. That doesn't mean that we know nothing. It means that particular moment, we don't know it. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So the people that comes out, "Oh, I know this is going to happen," that evidently they are not really following the scripture. "For as the day of Noah, where so also will the coming of the man," men, which everybody was doing whatever they were doing, thinking everything was fine. But that doesn't mean that we don't know anything. Doesn't mean that we don't understand. Jesus give us, and the Bible give us, much information so the day may be not taken by surprise. You know, it happened before. According to Jesus' prophecy, according to prophecy that took place then, around year 70 AC after Christ, Christians knew that the destruction of the temple and they were going to be attacked by the Romans. And all the Christians flee to the mountains, the way it was written there. And they were saved. And the ones that remained were killed or dispersed. I don't want to go too much into the detail, but this shows how really believer they receive the prophecy, they can see the sign of the time, they can prepare themselves so that the consequences of what's going on and touches the world is not going to touch them. You know, we are not blinded. We are not in darkness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 shows that very clearly. Verse 1 says, "But concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." That's interesting. "I don't need to write to you. For you yourself know perfectly." So, I mean, if one knows perfectly, doesn't mean it doesn't know. know perfectly that the day and the Lord comes as a thief on in the night. Know when they say peace, peace and safety, you know, then suddenly destruction come upon them as labor pain upon the pregnant woman. And then they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. So we don't need to be surprised. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not in the night nor in darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So you see, here is telling very clearly, we should know the season. We should know that the day is approaching. We should be able to determine that the time is getting closer. You know, Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 16, addressing to the Pharisees, said, verse 2, and he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So really, what Jesus was telling them, you should be able to know what's going on from the things that you can see in the world. And this is really the thing that we had to learn. We had to look at the world, see what's happening, see how it matches the world, see the prophecies fulfilled in the scriptures that are taking place in those days, and come to conclusion about the direction that we are in, the things that are going to be developing in the future without necessarily knowing exactly the time. Now, there is an interesting statement. See, sometimes people that are not spiritual can see things that the spiritual people cannot see. And the Prime Minister of Israel made a statement at the last Passover. He said that this is the first Passover after the, actually, I would say the second Passover after the first Passover, in which the situation is the same. They were in bondage, and a plague came on Egypt. And the plague was there. They were told to isolate. And they isolated, and they all were delivered. Now, these are not exactly his words, but he was showing the parallel between the time of the Exodus and the time of today. Now, I really don't believe anything happened by coincidence. God is in control. The thing is, the pestilence passed over Israel, and no one died. It passed on the Egyptian, and all the first sons of their family died. See, there was a change. That was a defining moment that took place at that time. Something that changed completely the life of the people of that time. Now, 2020 is, if you want, a parallel, a replica of the Passover of 3,500 years ago. And the first time something like that happened. It's a pestilence and a whole house locked down. See, God worked by cycles. What he did in the past sometimes can guide us for the things to come. God likes to work in that, and nothing happened by coincidence. You see, in the first Passover, they were delivered. And there was another Passover, 1500 years after, in which something took place that matched completely what was taking place in the first Passover. And that was the Passover that Jesus celebrated with his apostles just before being crucified. And there is a parallel there. And it's interesting to see that the Jewish feasts, they were guided by God's direction. They're actually not just used in remembrance for things that took place then, but they are things that have meaning in the bigger scale, on the bigger plan of God. And many of them relate to what God is going to do and is doing. And we're going to see at least two of them. We're going to look at the Passover, and we have to look after the feast that comes after the Passover, which is Pentecost. Both of them were feasts in the Jewish tradition, and both of them relate to what took place in Jesus' time. And both of them relate, I believe, in what's taking place today. So, Pentecost comes after 50 days after the coming of the Passover, and are related. The two things are actually related together, as we are going to see, and they imply changes taking place in our life. And they apply to changes taking place in the past, changes taking place at Jesus' time, and changes taking place today. Now, let's start with the Passover, which in Hebrew is the Feast of the Pesach. You know, that is a celebration of what took place in Exodus chapter 12 for the liberation from slavery from Egypt. They were 400 years in slavery. They prayed God to intervene and to set them free. Finally, God sent Moses to do what he did. And I'm not going to go through all that, because you know the story. But the feast from that time is a celebration of the sacrifice of what took place then to set them free. They had to sacrifice, according to God's prescription, a lamb. They would put the blood of the lamb on the post of their house. And there were other things about eating the lamb and so on for themselves, but they would have to stay in the house as the angel of death was passing over Egypt. And the angel of death passed over them and saw the blood on the postal, and it didn't get in there, so that they were completely free. Now, we can see that Jesus is called, for example, in Revelation 3:13-8, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So God knew all that. God had planned all that. The symbolism represented in the Passover was nothing else than a projection in the future of what God's going to take. It was not just a ceremony that was established, but was a prophetic statement of the way God would work. Now, when Jesus came, those who were open to the Holy Spirit and knew the truth recognized him. For example, in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says, you know, the next day, for example, in one of the, there are at least two cases in the gospel, you know, next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." How does the Lamb of God take away the sins of the world? But by shedding his blood, so that we are covered by his blood. So, you know, Jesus himself, when he knew, another example, he knew the time was coming. He was preparing for it. And the last Passover that he knew he was going to have, he met with his disciples. And in Matthew 26, verse 1 says, you know, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and that the Son of Man will be delivered to be crucified.'" So he made the connection right there. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, for all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, you will not drink of this fruit of the wine, nor until the day in which I drink it with me in the Father's presence, Father's kingdom." So you see, Jesus made that connection. Jesus revealed that the symbol, the symbolic things that was represented there with the Passover was nothing else than a prediction or a disclosing of what was going to take place later on with his own death. Praise the Lord. I mean, Jesus essentially explained the Passover to the disciples. Even then, their understanding was limited. You know, this was clearly prophesied before. You know, we are delivered from sin and the consequences of sin by the blood of Jesus. In Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, you know, "Surely he has borne our grief and has carried our sorrow," actually, sickness and pain. "We esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us, and by stripes we are healed." It touches every part of us, spirit, mind, heart, and body. "We all like sheep have gone astray, have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." See, this was the prophetic statement of what the Passover is all about. And was concluded and fulfilled through Jesus. So that 2 Corinthians 5:21 became a reality. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him." Hallelujah. See, to us, this is pretty clear. We can see the fulfillment of prophecies, or should be anyway. We should see that God's promises became true, not just spiritually, but physically. And the consequences are not going to be just spiritual, they're also physical. We see healing in the name of Jesus today because they appropriate the benefits of what you went through at that time. Nevertheless, the Jewish leader rejected them. They were close to hear. You see, when we are close to see and hear what happens, the things can be right in front of our nose. We are going to miss it. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19, verse 31 says, "And now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it." It was talking about Jerusalem here. Saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things they make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. They have preconceived, they're biased. For they will come upon you, and your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." You see, we should know the time of our visitation. We should know the time when these things are coming. We should prepare for the things that God is going to do. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. I hope you are seeing how evident is what took place at that time. How connected the Passover of 1500 years before was prophetically predicting the same thing happening after that long period of time. And it was evidently a sign for them to know if they understand and realize. See, Jews are required, as they go through the Passover, to see themselves being delivered by the things, the plague of the world, by what was going on, to be identify themselves with the Jews coming out of slavery. Evidently, they didn't identify enough to be able to recognize that the whole thing was happening again. So this is, we can see, you know, that talking about a special time that God wanted maybe to draw our attention to the time of Passover, that was just at the beginning in which this new pandemic started for us. We should know what to do. We should know how to handle it. We should know that we can be covered by the blood of Jesus. We should know that we can benefit from what he did 2,000 years ago, because it's just as fresh as today. Our sins are forgiven. Our sickness is taken away. Our iniquity is gone. But there is a time. See, there was a preparation time that they had to do before the Passover. And that preparation time was to remove all the leavened bread from the house. There were other things that were taking place at the same time. Essentially, they were preparing themselves to receive. We had to prepare ourselves to receive from God the deliverance that is ours. We don't need to be like people in Egypt under the plague. The plague is not going to touch us. The plague is not going to have any effect on us, because the blood of the Lamb is our covering. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think we should pray. I mean, the parallel here is so strong. The parallel is so important for us to understand. You know, all truth is parallel. What happened in the physical happened in the spiritual. All the coincidences are not coincidences with God. God is a God of order. And we should open ourselves up to hear from him and know that the price has been paid. Our iniquities have been dealt with. You know, I can see in our ministry how the power of God is becoming stronger and stronger. I mean, our healing takes place instantaneously. And the reason for that is not because, you know, we are special. It's because Jesus' blood is working today as it worked 2,000 years ago. And we recognize that what he has done then is just as good today as it was good when he was walking in Israel in those days. He wants us to be free from sin, from sickness, from iniquity, from the influences of the world, and to walk in victory. And he made everything possible for that. You see, he just didn't do that just so that we can receive. But he did something extra. And that is what happens with the next feast that we are going to talk about, which is Pentecost. It's the fulfillment of the promises of God given to us. He has given us his Holy Spirit, God dwelling in us, to help us to minister to others. Help us to become witnesses to the world. I'm not going to go into that because it's going to be a too long message in that case. You have enough already to think and to meditate and to seek God about for what I've said already. Just open up to the realization that this situation, this coincidence, is not coincidental. Is God telling us, isolate yourself from the world? Is God telling us, focus on me and prepare? I'm coming. I'm coming back. And I'll come quickly. And so I believe that we have a part we play. God always expects us to play our part. He is more than ready to fulfill his promises. So right now, let's go before him in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending Jesus, the Lamb that was slain from the beginning of the world. You knew it from the foundation of the world. You knew it from the beginning, what was needed. And you already have prepared it. Let us prepare ourselves to receive from you. Because as we prepare yourself, we'll be prepared when you come. We just praise and thank you, Lord, that you have given us enough warning for us to know, Lord, to have enough guidance, to have enough information, to figure out the season. And Lord, we believe that the season is now. It's been for a long time, Lord, but it's accelerating. Times are accelerating. And we just praise and thank you, Lord, for giving us the understanding, the revelation, and the Holy Spirit to guide us in our step in those days. In these days, Lord, there's going to be a difference in our life and the life of those who come in contact with us. Help us, Lord, to receive from you the guidance, the wisdom, and the power, Lord, to receive for ourselves and to have more than enough to give to others. In Jesus' name, amen.